From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia urges ASEAN to increase regional monitoring mechanism. An Indonesian Minister of Maritime and Fisheries Affairs and Japanese Ambassador discuss fisheries assistance. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal, and Security Affairs, Mahfud MD, has appealed to the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, to develop and increase a comprehensive security monitoring mechanism. He made the remarks at a meeting of the ASEAN Political Security Community, or APSC Council, which is part of a series of meetings held on the occasion of the 35th ASEAN Summit at the Impact Arena, Nonthaburi, Thailand on Saturday. At a closed-door meeting, Mahfud MD, accompanied by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, conveyed five essential issues that should be of common interest to countries in the region, namely terrorism, linked to the Industrial Revolution 4.0 and the digital economy, drug smuggling, the implementation of the Asian Outlook on Indo-Pacific or AOIP, and the protection of human rights in the region. Mahfud continued, "The challenges and issues can only be dealt with when we are united, and the ASEAN centrality is the key." Minister of Maritime and Fisheries Affairs Edi Prabowo held a meeting with the Japanese ambassador to Indonesia Masafumi Ishii at the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries office recently. The meeting discussed the continuation of cooperation between Indonesia and Japan in the field of maritime affairs and fisheries for the future. Minister Edi Prabowo expressed his appreciation for Japan's assistance, especially in the development of the Integrated Maritime and Fisheries Center, or SKPT, on Indonesia's foremost islands. The assistance of the fishery center's development is expected to be completed soon, so that it can immediately support the efforts of Indonesian fishermen. The minister, in a written statement received by republika.co.id in Jakarta on Saturday, November 2nd, explained that so far the Japanese government had provided assistance to Indonesia's outer regions worth 2.5 billion yen, or around 323 billion and 980 million and 250,000 rupiahs. This assistance is used to build and strengthen the Indonesian Maritime and Fisheries Center's SKPT, which becomes gathering place for fishermen in Indonesia's foremost regions. Minister of Research and Technology, Head of the National Research and Innovation Agency, Bambang P.S. Brojonegoro, will strengthen research collaboration between Indonesia and the Netherlands starting in 2020. Bambang P.S. Brojonegoro, in a written statement in Jakarta on Saturday, said in June 2020, they will hold a collaboration between the Dutch and Indonesian institutions that focused on research. The minister said that his ministry wants to encourage research collaboration between Indonesia and the Netherlands. He assured that there would be research topic carried out by Indonesia and the Netherlands in the next year, so it is hoped that the two countries could engage and learn from each other. He added the research cooperation between the two countries has been lasted for almost 20 years. In commemoration of World Food Day 2019, Minister of Agriculture Syahrul Yasin Limpo invited all parties, both regional leaders and political parties, to be responsible for promoting agriculture so that Indonesia will be able to provide food for the needs of domestic, even the world. The 39th anniversary of World Food Day, held in Pudambu Village, Angantan District, Konawe Selatan Regency, Southeast Sulawesi on Saturday, with the theme Agricultural and Food Industry Technology Towards Indonesia 2045. Syahrul Yasin Limpo, in his statement received in Jakarta on Saturday, hopes that governors, regions, political parties, and stakeholders have a good perspective and are obliged for all parties to advance agriculture. Syahrul assessed that the theme of World Food Day commemoration was chosen with consideration, among other things, that an independent nation must have the ability to meet its own food needs. Indonesia has great potential to realize food sovereignty, so that the Ministry of Agriculture continues to work hard in applying agricultural industry technology to realize the improvement and welfare of farmers and fulfillment of the world's food burns in 2045. Radio Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita stressed that he remained to focus on spurring the development of small and medium industries or SMIs to be more productive, creative, and innovative. The strategic step is considered to support the government's efforts to encourage an inclusive economy. Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, through his statement in Jakarta on Saturday, said that the SMI sector is the majority of the industrial population in Indonesia, so that it is expected to become the backbone of the national economy. Until now, the number of SMIs in the country exceeds 4.4 million business units, or reaches 99%. In addition, the micro, small, and medium industrial sector has absorbed up to 10.5 million workers, or contributed 65% of the overall industrial sector. Chairman of the Great Indonesia Creation House, RKIH, Chris Budiharjo, along with the National Management Board of the MAS organization, recently visited Ukraine to promote Indonesian creative products in the country. Chris Budiharjo told the press in Jakarta on Saturday during the visit to Ukraine, RKIH also brought Indonesian business people from various business fields. Chris Budiharjo further explained the economic relations and trade between Indonesia and Ukraine. Ukraine is the only country in Europe that still receives palm oil from Indonesia. In the last 3 years, Indonesian trade to Ukraine has increased by more than 100%. And the visit of Ukrainian tourists to Indonesia has reached 25,000 in 1 year. The last item. Federation Internationale de Football Association, or FIFA, President Gianni Infantino is slated to meet Indonesian President Joko Widodo in Bangkok to discuss the U20 World Cup 2021. Youth and Sports Minister Zainuddin Amali said, at the meeting, President Jokowi will convince the World Soccer Governing Body that football is one of the favorite sports in Indonesia. He learned of the planned meeting between Infantino and Jokowi from Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, who is in Bangkok, accompanying the President during the 35th Asian Summit. Indonesia is the second Southeast Asian country to host the event after Malaysia in 1997, when the tournament was called FIFA World Youth Championship. As the host, Indonesia will automatically compete in the U20 World Cup. This will be the country's first participation in the tournament. And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This week's spotlight is on President's first visit after being inaugurated. President Joko Widodo, along with First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, greeted residents while visiting Mama Mama Special Market in Anggi District, Arfak Mountains Regency West Papua on Sunday. This is the president's inaugural trip to the region after being sworn in as president for the second term. The visit to Papua on Sunday aims to inspect infrastructure as well as convey development plans in the province of West Papua and Papua in the next 5 years. He reiterated the efforts of the central government to advance the two provinces in the eastern tip of Indonesia. The president also inspected the Wuma market, which was one of the points of the riot some time ago, and set a target for rehabilitation to be completed in 2 weeks. The president also appealed to the community to learn from experience and hold a commitment to unite to develop Papua. During this visit, President Joko Widodo also inaugurated the Yutefa Bridge, located in Jayapura City. The bridge is present as a solution to overcome the population density in Jayapura so that the city area can be developed towards the border in Sko. Papuan community leaders from the Amungme tribe in Mimika Regency, Yosep Oriopi Kilangin, appreciates Jokowi's policies and breakthroughs in infrastructure development in Papua or West Papua. Meanwhile, the chairperson of the Port Numbai Indigenous Community Institution, George Awi, acknowledged that the construction of bridges, roads, ports, and airports has increasingly opened access for citizens to the outside world or vice versa. In the future, he hopes for more development and improvement of indigenous Papuans, such as the development of small and medium enterprises, training centers, or increased skills that can make indigenous Papuans directly find a job. The House of Representatives Commission 1 member from the Nasdem Party faction, Taufik Basari, said President Joko Widodo's visit to Papua and at the same time inaugurated a number of projects there showed the government seriousness towards progress in the province in all aspects. He said President Joko Widodo wanted development not to be concentrated in Jawa Island only, but also in the outer regions. The president also did not forget the personal approach with a heart to the citizens of Papua. President Joko Widodo and entourage then continued the working visit to Maluku Province. On this occasion, he asked that the concept and construction of earthquake-resistant houses built in West Nusa Tenggara Province be applied to tens of thousands of houses damaged by the earthquake that occurred in Ambon, Maluku on September the 26th. The request was made by President Joko Widodo after a dialogue with the community at the evacuation post located in Tulehu Village, Central Maluku, on Tuesday. Well, that was Spotlight of the Week over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, I'll begin with November the 3rd, 1936, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is re-elected as President of the United States. Franklin Delano Roosevelt assumed the post of president in 1933. At the time, America was experiencing a peak of depression. More than 13 million Americans had no jobs, and there was an uncertain banking arrangement. In 1936, in the year of the presidential election, the peaceful revolution in the economic and social fields launched by President Roosevelt had succeeded in bringing about the improvement and rebuilding of parts of America. As a result, on November the 3rd, 1936, Roosevelt was re-elected President of the United States with a landslide. Turning to November the 3rd, 1978, Dominica becomes independent from the United Kingdom. The Commonwealth of Dominica is a Caribbean island nation, member of the Commonwealth, which is located in a cluster east of the Caribbean Sea, flanked by two other small island states, namely Guadeloupe and Martinique. In 1493, this country was fought over by the United Kingdom and France. In 1896, the United Kingdom regained control of the Dominican government and made it a crown colony. Half a century later, between 1958 until 1962, Dominica became a short-lived West Indies Federation province. On November 3, 1978, Dominica finally became an independent country. I'll end with November 3, 1982, the Salang Tunnel Fire in Afghanistan. The Salang Tunnel Fire broke out on November 3, 1982 during the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. The details of this fire are uncertain, but this incident is likely to be the deadliest traffic accident in the world, as well as one of the deadliest fires in modern times. Very few facts are available regarding this fire. In fact, all this very small amount of information was mostly rumors, partly because the Soviet Union tended not to reveal their losses during the war. But many sources agreed that the fire that killed around 2,000 people involved a convoy of Soviet troops headed for southern Afghanistan through the tunnel. In the initial report, it was mentioned the fires was due to some fuel ignited by gun explosions. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read a letter sent by Cristiano Crotti in Italy. He was listening to our podcast on October 29th, 2019. In his email, he said thanks for VOIKSL card. Hello Mr. Cristiano Crotti, we are glad to know that VOIKSL card has been received by you. So keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to always send your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia for today is about supporting Go Green, the 2019 Tour de Borobudur avoids the use of plastic. The Tour de Borobudur 2019 bicycle racing event will carry the concept of Go Green to the maximum extent possible to avoid using materials made from plastic. Coordinator of Tour de Borobudur 2019, Hendra Darmanto in Semarang on Tuesday, October 29th, said that one of the reduction in the use of plastic material in this event was in food and beverage containers for participants. In addition to reducing plastic, he said the event would also reduce the volume of waste produced. The 2019 the Tour de Borobudur route is different from previous years. According to him, participants not only race across the 250 km route, but also travel to enjoy the natural potential of Central Java. Around 1,700 riders joined the annual bicycle racing event, which was held on 2nd and 3rd of November 2019. Hendra Darmanto said that foreign racers and a number of national figures also plan to take part in the race. On the first day, Tour de Borobudur crossed the route of Semarang Demak Grobogan Semarang Salatiga Boyolali and ended at the Jolomadu Karanganyar. While on the second day, the riders started the race from the Jolomadu to Klaten and finished in the Borobudur Temple. The biggest cycling event in Central Java, which has entered its 19th year and is one of the cyclists' most anticipated agendas. This time, the Tour de Borobudur or TDB stopped at 6 attractions in Central Java, with a route that was fresher compared to previous years. Head of the Department of Youth and Tourism of Central Java, Sinung R. Rahmadi, said that the participants of the Tour de Borobudur always increase from year to year because they always offer experiences of new routes and challenges in each stage. In addition, the TDB committee provided drinking water spots or water stations at each stopping point. That way, the activities carried out were free from rubbish and participants still enjoyed the natural charm of Central Java. And listener, that was my Indonesia for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply an email from our regular listener, MS Sri Nivasaraju in India. This time, Mr. Sri Nivasaraju sent his reception report on our broadcast on October 27, 2019 at 13 until 13:30 hours UTC with simple 555. Hello Mr. Sri Nivasaraju, thank you for your compliment and your request will come soon. So please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song to you. Here is the song.
Seberapa pantas kakak untuk ku tunggu? Cukup indah karirmu untuk selalu ku nantikan. Mumpukah kau hadir dalam setiap mimpi burukku? Oh, mumpukah kita bertahan di saat kita jauh?
Seberapa hebat kau untuk ku banggakan?
selalu kuandalkan. Mampukah kau bertahan dengan hidupku yang malang? Sanggupkah kau meyakinkan di saat aku bimbang?
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Rara was office voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will introduce Wetune Beach in East Nusa Tenggara. Indonesia is an island nation. East Nusa Tenggara province is one of the island provinces in Indonesia. The islands in East Nusa Tenggara are Flores, Sumba, Timor, Alor, Rote, and Sabu Island. On the island of Timor, there are six autonomous regions, namely Kupang City, Kupang Regency, South Central Timor, North Central Timor, Belu, and Malacca District. These regions are directly bordered by the country of Timor-Leste. Wetune Beach is one of the beautiful areas in South Central Timor Regency, precisely located in the district of South Amanubat. If you depart from Kupang to Wetune Beach, it takes around 2.5 hours. On the way, you will pass a winding road up and down hills and valleys. Once entering the gate to Wetune Beach, you will see several lopos, which are typical houses of South Central Timor, neatly lined up. In these lopos, visitors can rest while enjoying their lunch. When you explore Wetune Beach, you will see a stretch of fine, clean, and white sand. Some say a scene like this resembles the beauty of Kuta Beach in Bali. In addition to soft and fine sand, Waituno Beach also has unique breaking waves characteristics. The rolling waves followed one after another about 4 times in a minute. A row of cypress trees stand along the beach, and on the right side there are several hilly dunes that seems to create complementary scenes. Very beautiful. The hilly sand dunes are an interesting mix with long stretches of sand and blue-green sea. These sands are very soft and move easily, therefore you must be careful when you walk on it. If you want to visit Waituno Beach, you must first see the time, because in certain months, the waves on the Waituno Beach can also be large given the location of this beach on the south side of the island of Timor. On this beach, you can also set up tents to enjoy the atmosphere of the beach on a clear night. On the way to Waituno Beach, when passing through the rice fields, you can also buy and enjoy some watermelon, which can help eliminate your thirst during the trip. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Antonio Argolo Silva Neto in Brazil. He sent his reception report on our broadcast, which was monitored by him on September 30, 2019, October 3, 2019, and October 6, 2019. He was listening to our broadcast in Spanish program. Hello, Mr. Antonio Argolo Silva Neto. Thank you for your reception report on our broadcast in detail. Your email has been forwarded to read section. Special for you and listener Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song for our regular listener around the world. Enjoy the song and happy listening. Oh, Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. Today's miscellany is about IPB University received award at Jiangsu University, China. An Indonesian University of Agriculture, IPB University, received some national and international awards during October 2019. Some of them were received in the 26th 3U International Joint Seminar and Symposium at Jiangsu University, China. IPB University sat 11 students to deliver presentation of their works in the symposium. Two of them received awards in the event held on October 20th until 25, 2019. IPB University Rector Arif Satria, in a written statement, recently said two of their students received two different awards: Best Presenter and Founder Award. They were San Haji with paper titled STM-01 Sulfur Transporting Machine Harvesting Potential Energy into Electrical Energy, and Halisa Rahma Safira with paper on rice starch-based film incorporated with zinc oxide nanoparticles. Is a consortium consisting of 13 higher education institutions, including IPB University. There were five topics discussed in the symposium, namely population, food, energy, environment, and One Belt, One Road initiative. The 26th 3U seminar and symposium was opened by Jiangsu University President Yan Xiaohong. Besides joining competition, students also had workshop groups to solve problems related to the five topics. Meanwhile, three researchers of IPB University also participated as judges in this event. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. I'm Puri Safidadala. Thank you for listening.
Pertama, oh Tuhan, tolonglah.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again in Music Corner. Today's edition, we'll discuss a song, Cintaku Kini, sung by Ashira Zamita. Ashira, a talented young singer and composer, began to be known to release her first single titled Ku Cinta Nanti. As a newcomer to the Indonesian music industry, the first single was quite successful. Cintaku Kini tells the story of the continuation of a couple who hasn't had a more serious relationship but has to part because of circumstances. One of the messages Ashira wants to convey through the single Cintaku Kini is the courage to express a long-hidden feeling when the time has come. Ashira also hopes that with the creation of the single Cintaku Kini, more people will be moved to find her first love and continue the story that was delayed because, according to Ashira, it is no longer the time we long for silence. Now it is the time to express our feelings for the first love that is hard to forget. So listener, here is Cintaku Kini by Ashira Zamita.
Akankah kau beriku kesempatan? Pergi jauh meninggalkanmu, tapi dulu bukan maksudku meruntuhkan perasaan yang telah lama kita bangun bersama. Lama ku tunggu datang hari ini. Dan aku dipertemukan kembali. Tak bisa lebih lama lagi aku tatap mata itu, tempat bersembunyi banyak rasa rinduku. Bahagia bersama.
Voice of Indonesia.
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.